is all of us, I hope that we have got a document in our hand. And then it is the front page is the Republic of South Africa Portfolio Committee amendments to the Border Management Authority Bill, and then B9 2016. But at the bottom it is written B9A 2016. It signifies that it's our A list. It's the amendments that we have brought in. Are we having that document, all of us? Are you not refusing to have the document? This kind of a document, at the top, it says Portfolio Committee Amendments to the Border Management Authority. Are we together? Can you get together with somebody else? No, you don't have a correct document. You must be helped. No. Yeah? As long as you accept to be dealt with, it's fine. The problem is when you refuse. Because then you create a crisis. You have been helped. You have been helped. Yeah, honorable members, in principle is that these amendments, we have gone through them one by one. What has happened is that we did not put the all amendments to acceptance because we thought that there may be changes on about three clauses, and then there is no changes now to those, which means then this document stays as is, and then now it's going to be presented to ourselves. But then I would ask that Erasmus, do you know about these documents? Do you know about this amendment?
Chair, I would be very worried if I don't know about them. I'm aware of them, Chair.
I actually just wanted to know that as they are here, are you still happy that that is what has been reduced to be our A list? And didn't you have second thoughts about certain things, certain improvements, which maybe the members may be happy about to improve this this establishment?
Chair, just to indicate, now we're happy with the contents of this bill, except for a comma maybe that we picked up in the typos, but we've discussed it with the parliamentary legal advisor as well.
Yes.
Those are things that can be fixed, but the contents of the bill is 100% the same as was, Chair.
And we okay. Somewhere there's a comma that was stolen. Can you indicate to us, Swen, where that comma was disappeared to?
Thank you, Chair. Oh, sorry. The commas were in the B bill. We picked up, I think, one or two commas, and it's more in the memorandum. So, and there was one on page 15 of the B bill, clause 32. Yeah, that's a B bill. So, in terms of the A list, we had worked on it between the last meeting and now, and we had affected some minor changes to it, but the content is as agreed to in the last meeting.
Take us to where you have made a minor. You go to a politician, it may be the major.
Chairperson, on clause 17. Page 8. So, Chapter 6, it says, we just inserted in the second line, and two substitutes. So Chapter 6, in the number 1, in the second line, and two substitutes. The two was missing, so we put that in there. And then on page 11, clause 32, the full stop was missing.
Let's get to that page 8.
Page 8,
Chapter 6 in the middle.
Chapter 6, number 1. So that's instruction there on page 10 in line 11 to omit powers of entry, search and seizure, and to substitute. With
Between the word end and substitute, you must insert to.
To, yes.
T-O.
Yes.
Okay, that my document is missing it, of course. Okay.
And then on page 11, clause 32. The sentence should end with a full stop. So after the last, on clause 32, you have that whole paragraph, annual report, and then the last, it has the last word is in parliament. Close quote, and then a full stop should be at the end. So it's just technical amendments, very technical.
Oh, must just take the full stop
stop at the end. No, to close that whole sentence with a full stop. So we inserted that. That's what we inserted. Okay. And clause 37, the same thing at the end of that clause, after session, you close the quote and a full stop. So it was very, very technical amendment.
Okay.
So that's where the changes, what are the changes we affected to the A-list.
Okay. Okay. Honorable members, I think that is what has happened. And then, like as I've said, that we have gone through this. But is there anybody that has a problem with a long title? If we go back to page 2. You remember on the long title that we have actually brought in deputy commissioners. As we agreed, because you know, that will improve the administration. And also to provide for the annual reporting. Are you happy about that, the long title? The amendments to the long title? Okay, and then now the preamble. The amendment to the preamble. You remember we agreed that the facilitation of secure travel and legitimate trade, and then we discussed we discussed this thing until we almost lost our breath, and at the end I think when it was explained and clarified, and then we were happy about it. No, Honorable Hussein, just stick your hand up yes. You know, you're behind the Honorable Kenya, you see, when you do that, then I think that you are saying, no, don't note me. Otherwise, we must come forward and then, yeah.
Chair, I'm sorry, but have we not gone through this process already? I thought it's been a while.
We've gone through it. You know, but I'm just simply thinking that I don't want it to be just pushing you to say, no, let's adopt the whole of it or let's refuse the whole of it. And then just simply to pick up whether you have got afterthoughts the day that we agreed on all this.
So
I may go page by page as well.
Chair, I have one question that I want to raise, but I'm not sure at what stage in the process now. But I guess,
do you know which page does it relate to?
I think it probably relates to the bill itself as a matter of principle, and there is this issue of trade. And the question is this, and you must decide how you want to deal with it, is that when we met the last time, I remember there was a dispute around whether or not SARS should be included, and there was a discussion between the two ministers. And that's where I know that we ended. And I'm dealing about the principle of this thing.
Yeah.
And I got the impression from the DG that if we take customs and SARS out of this, then the whole thing falls apart. Now, having heard what the Minister of Finance had said at the budget speech, I got the impression then that what we're going to see is that SARS and customs are going to be taken out of this thing. But I see there's still reference to trade and who makes up the that committee, I forget what it's called. They're still involved there. So can I just ask that you maybe just give us an update on that first, because then it will help us to make some progress. I'm not sure if SARS is here as well, because I'd like to hear from them whether...
Well, today is our business. As members of parliament, it's our business today. And then, but just simply to actually get you on speed is that you'll remember that the issue that were coming out of, or let me start by saying, from the Minister of Home Affairs, and in terms of the cabinet decisions that have been taken towards the this particular bill, then they are happy. Remember that the Department of Home Affairs is the one is the one that has actually brought the bill here, and then they are happy about it. And then there were some other discussions. You'll remember that this bill went even to NEDLAC and the rest, over and above the internal cabinet public participation processes. And then it went to cabinet to NEDLAC, and then the NEDLAC report, we had it here. And then we addressed some of the issues that COSAT was having. And then also, of course, is some of those issues that talked to customs. And then there were amendments that were made, and then to say that only the front line of customs will then belong to the BMA, but the rest of customs, the back offices and the rest that actually does, and the collection of revenue still remains with SARS. And then I think those amendments then were made here, and also exclude anything that is collected at the port of entry in the form of penalties or whatever, that it doesn't form part of the fees or the income of the BMA. Directly that goes to the kitty of SARS in the normal process of them. So the question of revenue collection still stays with SARS. It's not part of the BMA. And then that has been, I think those amendments were made to actually accommodate what Treasury then was having a problem to say, don't fragment the revenue collection. And I'm sure if we still understand, we remember that the department was even did some sort of an investigation or a research that actually says that all income related to customs, mainly, about 99% of it is done even before anything gets at the port of entry, the form of EFTs and whatever. And only what is collected at the port of entry amounts to roughly about 1%. But it's only in the form of penalties for those that are actually not complying to whatever it has been agreed in terms of the cargoes or that needs to come across with them. And then, but then we decided to say that, I think ourselves, that let's exclude the revenue collection so that the BMA doesn't get involved in the revenue collection and then keep the funds, because that will create problems. And then SARS still has that, collect all the money, and then whatever little bit that when people pitch up at the port of entry, that they are not complying to certain requirements. And then SARS then put some penalties to them, and then that particular income goes straight to the kitty of SARS as the revenue collection, and then or customs duties, whatever it is called. So that has been done. But then what we have actually done now with the front officers that are doing the inspections at the port of entry, belong to customs, that those will belong to the BMA. So that means is that now when it comes to the border, people crossing the border, coming in or going out, then would be done under the authority and the auspices of the BMA. Then they must take responsibility and accountability. And the command is one there. And that is the whole aim, to actually do that. But then again is that this bill, we have also effected, I'm sure, some other changes to facilitate that the BMA would also have, I mean, the SARS at any given time. They may join the inspectors of the BMA if there is any particular cargo that it is highly suspicious. Then they can go and do the inspections together with them. And then there is no problem. Again, as well, is that under certain circumstances, the BMA may have a memorandum of understanding to actually implement certain provisions of the Act. That is like with like the argument you raised, you remember, with municipalities and the rest, and then some sort of searching within that particular border management area, which you may find that the municipality is falling inside, but it's also within that particular area of the border management area. And then we're saying that the bill is crafted in a manner that there may be memorandum of understanding that gets in to actually facilitate how they will do things, and then in order to actually implement the Act, and while the other authorities like municipalities, like SAPS, and then on certain areas, then they can pursue a criminal right up into the border management area. As long as they are doing their policing, there's nothing that stops them. But the crossing of the border, go this way or this way, and then a border management authority must be involved to say, yes, you go this side or you go this side. There shouldn't be another individual who doesn't belong to the border management authority who actually tells another person to cross the border to go the other side. It shouldn't happen. Or who says that particular cargo or goods, then I give you permission for them to cross to this side, and only to find that it is not a border management authority official that does that. Because that then will open the port of entry to a situation of dual command authority, which then will be problematic for taking account of what happens at our ports of entry. So now, what we have actually done is that we are happy about all those, but then SARS was adamant that we must exclude the customs and still have that free way that customs on its own, then it can allow, you know, it can inspect goods and then happy about them, and then they cross without the BMA crossing across inside or outside, and then they say no, they want to wait until they see this BMA get established, and then they may join later if ever things and then it looks to be whatever. And then we had a problem with that. We've said, should that then happen, then what stops the SAPS from doing the same thing? What stops Home Affairs with immigration officials to say, even ourselves, our immigration officials are not joining the BMA, we want to see this BMA going? Is that it's a lack of confidence from the same government in a structure that it is establishing. And that is problematic. So I think currently what we are saying as well is that we are adamant that we want to create a single authority at the port of entry. And then for implementation of this, and then anything can still happen. The president may proclaim in any other form to say, no, customs officials there, don't join the BMA now, you'll join on a particular period of time, if that is the understanding. Or they can have a memorandum of understanding how they're going to transition. You know, it's, remember that this taking over of officials is not a thing that's going to happen overnight. It's not a thing that's going to happen overnight. You may find that the last person that is actually joining the BMA from the departments or institutions that are currently present at our ports of entry may happen 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the line. So that's why there is no need for anybody to panic. And again, like as I'm saying, is the president, when he signs this particular act, he may actually sign it in a transitional form and say that now for the first year, section 1, 2, 3 then must be implemented, and then the other ones will follow at a particular time. There are men and women, I think, in the cabinet and in the presidency that can advise on how to implement this border management authority in a much more smoother way that we achieve what we want to do. The biggest intention at the moment, we mustn't forget, is that it has been difficult to coordinate the institutions and the bodies that are at our ports of entry to function as one and ensure protection. Certain form of arrangements have been made. I think the last one was the BCOCC, and then still could not achieve anything because others were refusing to actually give others information for them to be able to perform their duties and ensure security of the state through our ports of entry. It has been difficult. I'm sure you have never enjoyed anything since you tried to assume some responsibility. And hence the decision to create a single authority at our ports of entry. And that is what we are trying to do, and this particular bill is trying to do. But the argument of Treasury then seeks to go the different way to sustain that. Yes. And then it is not assisting. We understand what their argument is, but it's not assisting on the main objectives that we're seeking to achieve. Because we're really trying to make sure that at the port of entry, you don't go to Home Affairs and then you ask about passports and whatever. When you are done, then you go to SAPS, then you ask whether the goods that have been transported in that particular bag and then are goods that must go across. You go to one single authority. Then they tell you that this particular individual that has crossed, together with whatever he has crossed, and then is approved to go across. You are not sent from one pillar to post. I think that is what we're trying to do. And like as I'm saying, is that options are there to talk to the realities on the ground, but we must have the Establishment Act. It must speak to what we want to achieve. And then some arrangement somewhere there within the departments, and like it happens with all other acts, and then always to happen, and then but to facilitate the implementation. Honorable Figlen.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your explanation. I think this question will keep on coming up, Chair. In the last meeting, you said there is a letter that the Treasury will meet with the Deputy President. Now, we never received what happened there as a committee. Now, again, on Clause 5C, I get your explanation, but this one says facilitate the collection.
Where are you now? On the main.
Page 4.
The main bill.
Yeah, page 4.
The main 5C. Oh, okay.
You've got it, Chair.
Yes, you may proceed.
Okay, facilitate the collection of revenue within the border law enforcement area and port of entry.
Yes.
Now, you're talking about collection of revenue. That is Treasury's work. Yes. Now, again, this question I'm bringing up again, was there any agreement between the meeting of the Treasury and the Deputy President to agree on this?
That's what I'm saying, is that that meeting has not resolved on anything. They are still poles apart. But this particular section that we have read now on, it says that the BMA will make sure that the Treasury collects whatever it has to collect and straight into their kitty. That's why we're saying is we have excluded the revenue collection. Yes. It's just the facilitation that is... Yes. Yes. Honorable Mkalipi?
Chair, we are still going to have a problem because this is not the first time when we have a problem with this clause, particular clause. And I tend to agree with the colleagues that says, no, we were taken into board, even SARS was here. And then you also do the undertaking that, Chair, that there will be some meetings between the Deputy President and us. So now it's a cause for concern if this bill does speak about the same clause that we have raised as a concern before. So it means that you are going to take this thing as an act, if it's not resolved. I think, Chair, we must be told, Jiguti, what happened between those facilitation between us and the Deputy President. Because if you remember very well about this issue, Chair, even the Davis Commission raised a concern about the very same issue. Now you are told that it's facilitated. What is to facilitate? We must be clear.
Sure,
is a collection? If it's not a collection, if it's to facilitate, what kind of facilitation?
Okay.
Yes, we must be clear about this thing.
Okay. I've said that we have made arrangements, we have requested that particular meeting should happen. They met last November. Then we have made that they have agreed. Then when we ask is give us what they have agreed upon, then they have not agreed on anything. I'm sure you remember that I even gave you copies of their letters. Then they have met again this year. Then we are told that they have agreed that then they will have even a memorandum of understanding how they're going to do things. But then when they try to record what they say they've agreed, they are still exactly the same as last year in November. You see? So they have not actually agreed on anything. And to that effect is that this morning when I arrived here, then I received a letter from the Deputy Minister of Finance. And that letter still exactly talks exactly what they've been talking since last year. Exclude customs. You understand? But what we are actually trying to say is that this clause 5, there is a reason why the word facilitate was brought in, was definitely to exclude collection. Exclude collection. I'm sure it's Erasmus, then they can explain it. It was not to say that they will collect that particular revenue. They will facilitate because that the port of entry now will be under the command of the BMA. But then they must not stop customs to collect those penalties that may be effected right at the port of entry. And then, did you take first?
No.
So that we make it very clear that we have excluded the revenue collection.
No, Chair, as you are right, you recall at the bill which was here before you, the amendments based on the committee, but that amendment was coming from the deliberations of the committee. And then we explain what facilitate means, is that, remember we said, the goods tax is decided when it is still in the country of origin. Then when those goods now comes into the port, they still need to be open to check whether what you said you are paying for is exactly what we are saying is that. So now for us, what we mean is to facilitate. Once that goods comes at the port, we'll report to the back office of SARS and say, the goods which are in this consignment, they meet all the criteria which is in that revenue thing which you said you will collect. Then if it is wrong, SARS will come back to PMA and says that cargo now must pay a penalty of 10 rand. Once that penalty is collected, because there's no SARS there, then we take the 10 rand, we deposit it in the account of the National Revenue Fund or SARS account. So that's what we are meaning by facilitating. So there will be no revenue reported in the books of PMA. If now SARS is going to collect whatever, 1 trillion, that trillion goes to SARS. It's got nothing to PMA. PMA is going to go in the account and say, we've collected 50 million and all that. All that amount goes to SARS. That's what the facilitation means.
Now again, if we go on the same document we are having, Honorable Mkhalipi, on page 9. On page 9. That clause 23, funds of the authority. And then on the funds of the authority, then we decided to actually say that the funds of the authority consist of monies appropriated annually by Parliament to the BMA, any government grants made to it, and any other monies legally acquired by it, subject to treasury regulations and instructions made in terms of the public finance management, excluding revenue collected in terms of Section 5C. And 5C, that is the one that we're speaking about just now. So that's why we are adamant that we have actually made amendments to really meet what treasury and SARS wanted. And then any other thing, it may be a matter of a memorandum of understanding in the implementation that they can do in a transitional manner. Does it come a little bit clearer now, Honorable Raputi?
Yeah, as Chairperson, I think to allay some anxieties and, you know, this kind of misunderstanding, why can't we, the bill drafters here, why they don't spell out the customs will also do this and this and that and that? Can't they also explain in this clause 5, you know, to really to make it more easy and more simpler and people can be able to understand? Because that is the most issue that is really causing some confusion here.
Yeah.
If the people, the drafters assist here, really, because it's a problem of the customs. That is why we are still sitting like this. But however, even if it's been explained in that clause 25, but bring it here so that we can be able to understand it and, you know, because sometimes, you know, this law it's in English, and English is a very kind, difficult kind of a language. So assist here. Please draft us, assist us. That is my submission, Chair.
Yeah, but I think it's, we may be treading in the wrong area, because customs does its work in terms of the Customs Act. And once you just write one sentence about them, then you may be forced to actually copy the whole act that they are using to do their work. As long as you just exclude their work, and then they do in terms of their own act. Dambus?
I just wanted to say what the last part of your input. But I don't know if is it possible just to have a clause that relates to the cooperation between these in terms of implementation of subsection 5. For instance, you have mentioned the issue of a memorandum of understanding. So I don't think it would be bad to, as drafters of the legislation, as legislators, to provide a guidance in terms of how do we think this legislation, because we cannot just develop a legislation and then you don't give a guidance, how is it going to be implemented? If we are just seeing a problem or a challenge in implementing this legislation because of this clause, why can't we insert a clause that will speak to that to the memorandum of understanding, how the cooperation of this in terms of managing this process? Thank you.
I think Erasmus and who? Yeah, they should be able to take us where this particular bill facilitate cooperation and all sorts of agreements too. If you could just highlight us, and then Honorable Hussein will come in.
Thanks, Chair. If you look at Chapter 8, Clause 27, deals specifically with its headed implementation protocols, where provision is made for these...
But that's on the bill itself, eh?
Indeed, Chair.
Yeah.
It's already in the bill itself. Page 14 of the bill, Chair. 14.14 of the bill itself. Clause 27... It's headed implementation protocols. The B bill.
Just a second, let them get to the document. The bill itself, page 14, clause 27, implementation protocols. I think that's what you are asking for. Let them take us through.
And also on page, I think if we can start on 25 before we go to protocols,
to
which is Border Technical Committee, which is on the page 13. It says that the Border Technical Committee is hereby established. It says the Border Technical Committee consists of the commissioner and the heads of prescribed organs of state or their duly representative. It means it's those who are operating
the
within
DGs.
The border environment. Do you see that, Honourable Member? Page 13.25. On the bill.
The bill itself.
It's the bill.
The bill itself. Page 13, right in the middle.
Yes, page 25. Then it goes further now and says, then provided that a duly delegated must be a member of the senior management services of the organ of state. Then it says now the Border Technical Committee must advise the Interministerial Consultative Committee, which is above. It says on the implementation of legislation, policies, and protocols related to border management. It means Home Affairs is sitting on that committee. We advise on implementation of legislation, policies, processes. And then, when you take it further, to that number, which is number 27. But I wanted to start at that one, but there is a border. In fact, this committee starts at a ministerial first. There is a ministerial committee. I think we debated a lot by the committee, which is now, if you go to B, but who must be members of that minister's committee is listed on that page at a B at a top. And then everything is covered there.
Yes. Yeah. Actually in terms of facilitating working together, memorandum of understanding for the purpose of implementation, then this particular bill provides for that. And then also the oversight committee in the form of the interministerial committee, where all these ministers that are at the border, they are involved. And then they will be dealing with protocols of implementation, which they can handle in the form of memorandum of understanding, and then to ensure that we are all secured. And like as we say in that clause 27, then on the implementation of the protocols, then we have provided for it there. And that's why the last meeting that they met, the Deputy Minister of Finance and the Minister of Home Affairs and in the presence of the Deputy President, they agreed that these things that they will do, then they will deal with them in the form of a memorandum of understanding. But then when now you want them to write, then you find that they still take a very radical position. But also, of course, this then there is this thing of a memorandum of understanding. It is there, all of them, you see. But then you the fact of the matter is, honorable members, is that it's ourselves here that must legislate. It's ourselves. We have just simply engaged for purposes of consultation. But it's ourselves that are responsible to legislate and say how things must happen. Honorable Kalipi, and then... But Hussein had his hands before you. But I'm sure you won't mind for Women First.
Yes. He was supposed to be my mayor in Durban.
Your man?
Mayor.
Oh, okay.
So if you still want my vote, you must give me a chance.
Chair,
I'm not on the same matter, although I'm not fully covered by the explanation by the DG, although he explained very, 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 very good about the word facilitation. But in terms of the document, it's not explained according to the DG. Okay, let me pass on that one, Chair, because I need to go to another meeting. The other concern that I wanted to raise here about the whole funding of this BMA. If you remember very clear last time when we have Treasurer in the House, when we were here, when we were on the same side with our department complaining about the compensation fund, I even raised a matter to say there is a bill that needs to be implemented. So as the committee, as the department, do we have funds? Because I even said on that meeting, Chair, we don't have to waste our time processing this bill. At the end of the day, we are going to be told that there is no money to implement the bill. So I need a clarity from the department. Do we have money to implement such bill? Thank you, Chair.
I think that question will be explained now, I'm sure, for the fourth, fifth, or sixth time. Honestly speaking, because it was explained to ourselves to say, if there are people that are going to move to the BMA, and then those functions will move with their money. Because, you see, if immigration officers of Home Affairs go to BMA, that function goes to BMA, then that allocation then goes with them. And then, but again, is that what was explained by the DG, which we agreed, all of us, is that there is not going to be a bank tomorrow, there is BMA fully fledged, that it needs about 50 billion. It's going to be in a transitional manner. Maybe initially it may be just simply the establishment of the office of the commissioner, then who must actually now start preparing all the necessary administrative documents and policies and whatever. It may take another 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, even when we see half of the BMA established. So that was explained. That's what I'm saying, is that it has been explained many times. But I think the DG can just indulge us on that.
Thanks, Chair. As we have said, I think we've got a report, actually, which has been done for Treasury. The amount now which is spent on a border environment is about 3.8 billion rands. Because organizations are there. They already operate. Borders are not closed, that there is no border. We're starting something which is not there. The only thing you do is to bring together. And, Chair, besides that, man, there's going to be efficiencies as well, which we have explained. Let me explain to you using OR Tambo as an example. OR Tambo, Home Affairs, we've got about 320 immigration officers at OR Tambo for a 24-hour shift. I'm not able to fill all the counters there. The fact is known. But police has got 810 officials at OR Tambo alone. So if you just combine that, it means now I'll be able to have immigration officers to manage the stamping as well as what the police were doing. So the efficiencies are going to happen. Systems now. Home Affairs has got my own systems. SARS has got their own systems. Police has got their own systems and all that. Once that thing is one, so it means that there are going to be savings. There are going to be monies, yes, needed somewhere here and there. But as the Chair is saying, we're explaining that BMA is not going to open one day, is already up there. We know the MTF processes, how they follow. We'll be submitting on our MTF, but at the same time, we can't continue with the porousness borders which they are. Now, in the country as we speak, we are under a severe stress because of the porousness of borders, which leads to all these other things which we are facing. So we are saying here that BMA is going to bring efficiencies, and with those efficiencies, it will need some money, but the money is already there, but it's just to combine it under one. And government principle is clear. You shift a function, it is shifted. Like how many the departments which have been established now, when they were split, there was no more money given there. But you take communication, it moves with that part of budget, and another one with a part of budget. That's all what you do. So change exactly what you said of explain.
Yes, but the truth of the matter, Honorable Mkhalipi,
when the DG comes back to say SAPS does not want to cooperate with the
government, how is it? But what we are saying is that of course is that there is some budget that will be required to establish that bureaucracy, that headquarters of the PMA, and that commissioner and the deputy commissioner, and also the work of preparing all the policy documents that will govern the human resources and blah, blah, blah in there. But in terms of the personnel, the people will be moving with their functions together with their budget, together with their salaries, those that are moving. Of course, we have agreed, we have understood that in terms of our laws, people are not going to be forced to actually join the BMA. Then there may be those that actually say, no, I can't. Then we'll actually revert back to the department wherever he is. If that particular function where he is at the border, then goes to the BMA. But those that go to the BMA, they go with their budget and the rest in there. So it is not massive. But like I still want to repeat, we don't expect that tomorrow morning, if this bill is signed off, all immigration officers of Home Affairs then would have changed. No. There is a process that needs to unfold in terms of other legislations of the country pertaining to human resources, pertaining to infrastructure, assets, and all these other things. And that still needs to happen. And during that time, these implementation protocols advised by the Border Technical Committee, which includes all the DGs, including finance, treasury DG, and all that, then they will be actually feeding in for these to function successfully. And the Interministerial Committee, which is the committee of ministers that have got something to do about crossing our borders, then they will be there also assisting and feeding in into this particular body to really do its work efficiently at our ports of entry and to be accountable. The biggest thing, to be accountable for anything that goes across. If there is any big bag of drugs that have gone across our port of entry, I'm sure it's Home Affairs and other customs officials and SAPS. They'll tell you how many drugs that they are confiscating at OR Tambo almost on a weekly basis. But then there is not really, people can't continue and try to get drugs through if there is no opportunities of actually smuggling it through, because of the multi-authorities that are there, you see. So, Honorable Members, I wanted to put these amendments to yourselves. Honorable Hussein?
Chair, can I just ask that if you would please circulate that document from the Deputy Minister so that we all understand exactly what their position is. The second thing is, I think the committee is now being put in a very difficult position. You have this dispute between Treasury and Home Affairs. Remember, there was a similar dispute between Home Affairs and SAPS. And then we asked them to go away, resolve their issues, and come back with amendments to the bill. And there was some written confirmation from SAPS to say, we're satisfied, we've done our work. That gave us the comfort, and then we moved on from there. Now, you are asking us to take a position on the bill when two government departments themselves, two ministers themselves have not agreed. And I think that's a bit unfair. So I want to rather propose that
the leader of government business must do what he has to do, and then we must come back here with a position of what is government's position on this thing. Instead of asking us to now choose between whether SARS is right or Home Affairs is right, it puts us in a very, very difficult position. If they themselves have not resolved the issues, how do you want us to resolve it? So they must take the decision, and they must decide how they're going to adjust the bill and make amendments to the bill to satisfy both Home Affairs as well as Treasury. Because we are now being asked to deal with that. And that's why my colleague here is making her own suggestion and amendments. But they must take the lead in it and give it to us so that we can resolve this issue. In the absence of that, it's going to be very difficult for us to agree to these amendments, because that's a critical part of the disagreement on this, on these amendments.
I'm not sure how much we can explain this. Remember that the bill has left the cabinet. The bill has left the cabinet because the cabinet approved it and tabled in parliament. And it is in our hands. It is in our hands. And then the particular process you are referring to of the immigration regulations, and then you will remember that that is exactly what informed us to actually ensure that we really consult with them. But then they are not reaching any conclusion. And we have to finish the legislative process here. From last year, around October, November, when we made the call, and hoping that there will be something, but we are just consulting them, although that the bill is in our hand, it's no longer in cabinet. Cabinet, they've done what they're supposed to do. They have passed it. They have agreed that it must come to parliament. Now it is in our hands, and it is our responsibility. We have talked to this. We are satisfied on the provisions that are in here. And what we are saying is that whatever Treasury may be thinking, that it will be in their best interest if it is done the way they were asking. But that, on its own, it seeks to establish two authorities at the port of entry. Then we say that that's problematic. But when they go into the implementation of this particular act, there is nothing that stops Home Affairs and Treasury and any other department, when they are actually seeing the actual things on the ground and agree on a phase-in or transitional arrangement or memorandum of understanding. There's nothing that stops them from doing it. But ourselves is that as Parliament we are saying our borders are porous, and some of the holes is because of persons. It's not that it's just simply a hole that exists alone. Some of them is that there are people that facilitate illegal crossing of goods or persons across our ports of entry, let alone where people just cross on their own in some other holes. But we also have where people facilitate others to smuggle things through. Let's have one authority. That's what we're seeking to achieve. And then they can have transitional arrangements as they move forward. From last year until today now is almost towards the end of February. An opportunity has been given to consult them, to make, to influence us, but it has been missed. But we are not saying it's the end. If ever from today onwards and then sanity prevails, they can still catch the process in the NCOP process. And then the NCOP then may bring in to us as well, and then we'll agree with whatever they have reached, if it makes sense. But we mustn't lose the point that we want to create a single authority at the ports of entry. So that is what we are attempting to do. And then I would have loved to put all these amendments to you, because for them now to be captured in the B list, we need to actually agree that these are the amendments that we spoke to, that we have agreed, they have been clarified, and majority have agreed on them, so that we are able to move forward. Madam Booth.
I just propose the adoption of the amendments before the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Anyone that supports, Honorable Hussein, are you supporting? I'm still asking for the one. Anyone that supports Honorable Raputi?
Support my amendments and the report. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, no, thank you very much. And then anybody that opposed? No.
Chair, I would request that you please record our concerns around the fact that if Treasury is raising their concerns and these matters are not resolved, and you still want to push this bill through, we're not going to be part of it, and I want to record our objection to that. And I ask that you please circulate that letter of Jonas before Brian comes.
You see, I really don't know whether we should do, or a person of your nature should actually try to do that when we have been having a very good meeting since the start. I mean, also, I don't want to say you are out of order. I will reserve not to say that, but it's exactly what I mean. And then if that is the case, that you just simply record your objection, then it is fine. And then I need to thank you, honorable members, the rest of the other members then are agreeing. And then this meeting of ours then will be... We'll come to the end. Okay. Come again.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to check procedurally. Mustn't you put the bill formally and record people's vote?
You mean the vote?
Yes.
No, well, we can vote, because I think this Honorable Hussein was just simply says he's objecting. He was just record his objection. Otherwise, the rest of the meeting then agrees. And then, that's my understanding. He was not saying that he's opposed. He just simply said that he just recorded his objection. So thank you very much. And then let this meeting come to an end. We expect that now this will now translate to the B list, which then on the next opportunity, then we may find ourselves going to clause by clause. Okay? Which may not be tomorrow. Tomorrow is meant for the BRRR. For the BRRR tomorrow. We're still meeting, but we must dispose with the BRRR. Is 9:30?
Yeah,
9:30. It's 9:30. Assist us. Assist us, you can actually...